Now presenting, channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Hello, everyone. This is Alisa, Mama Bear, Mama E, or most importantly, Eric's mom. And we have Michelle Gray at thehealingh-art.com. You know her. She's always the co-host, almost always. And I want to give a shout out to her daughter who broke her her leg, close to, I guess, part of the knee. So everybody send her healing energy, please.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. She's going, sure. I was just telling Alisa that she's going to be going for surgery. And so it's been a rough few days around here
her.
But yeah, what can you do, though, right? Things happen.
Happen. It's called life. Right.
My brother actually is today he just got into his room out of the recovery room, just had a knee replacement at the same time. So yeah, there's a lot of knee stuff.
Oh,
going
God,
on.
They should get a volume discount on knees, for the love of God.
I don't know. He had to go out of town. He had to go to Toronto, which is a couple hours from where we are.
Yeah.
And he was on a little bit of a waiting list because the waiting list is quite long here. For that,
Oh my God. Well, I'm sure your daughter will be fine.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
she's young.
She will.
So anyway,
she's resilient.
Yeah, like her mama.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about orbs, light anomaly, anomalies.
Yeah.
That's like saying that's like saying when a kid tries to say what do you call that stuff in fish tanks. Anemones, and they say anemones or something, or paschetti. Spaghetti. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what I just did there. And, of course, we're going to talk about spirits, too. So, hi, Eric. I love you.
Eric says, hi, Mama. I love you. He's serenading you.
So, listen, before we get started on this topic, Mr. Eric, I want to ask you about something that somebody sent me. This YouTube about this guy with small cell lung cancer, who, you know, it was everywhere. And he, I told you about this too, Michelle. He has a veterinarian friend who was doing some studies on mice, injecting the four mice with cancer cells. And then for some reason, I don't know, she had to deworm them or they actually, I can't remember why. With fenbendazole, and their cancer completely went away. So he decided to try it, the human dose, and, you know, his cancer's gone. I mean, gone. And now I'm looking at stuff, you know, this is poo-pooed off so many times, right? By many people, but now I see journal articles that say, you know, deworming medicine, repurposed for the treatment of cancer. And the same thing with ivermectin too. So, you know, I want to ask if there's any validity to this, and if there's been fenbendazole and there's ivermectin. Are each of them, like, do they treat, if it works, different types of cancers or what?
Eric says yes, and he says yes. He goes, Mom, there are it does treat cancer, but he's also saying it doesn't affect everybody's body the same. So not everybody might have the same reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also saying that, like, the ivermectin and the other one that I can't remember how you said it.
Fenbendazole.
So they would treat different types of cancer.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
He says it wouldn't be the same, but he says it's legit. Legit.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I had cancer, shit, I'd do it. I mean, ivermectin, it seems like there's a lot more, treatment of breast cancer. And I don't know about the other ones. He did fenbendazole, you know, he had great success. He's still cancer-free. And it's cheap. Of course, now, I mean, it's really cheap, like 15 cents a day or whatever. Now it's gone up because of the interest, like maybe 20 cents a day. I don't know. But, but it's just, you know, and you just do it like, take it like twice a week or something. I can't remember the protocol, but I don't know. you know, you guys, if you want, you go to the yes or no question page on the Atlantis Scalar site, right? And get on the About tab and the drop-down menu for the yes or no question. And maybe ask Michelle or one of the other mediums, if you do have cancer, if that would work for you. And if so, you know, well, would benbendazole be best? And then another question, would ivermectin be best? So, you know, this is Big Pharma's attempt to keep us really sick, really sick, and pay our last freaking dime, you know, to stay alive. And I just can't tell you how horrible that is. Now, I don't think so, but this one woman recommended this great documentary called Plandemic. And it's three things. One has a medic in it, in the title, and the other, I can't remember, it's like it. And the other is The Great Awakening. And it, they have the, you can do it for free on YouTube, but you have to watch my husband's showing me my credit. Showing me my social security number in front of confirm it. And my social security number, people, is... He's getting upset now. So it's fascinating about Big Pharma and all that stuff. Yeah. And I think we eventually need to have a session on that. So you guys, be sure you subscribe to our the CE channel and the AS channel, Atlantis Scalar channel. Another thing I want to share with you.
Something else I just wanted to say, Elisa, and a client that I had, I think it was last week, and she asked me to share this with you. This is along the lines with Big Pharma and everything. So her mother started taking LDN, and her mother had a very aggressive stage 3 breast cancer, and it's completely gone.
Yeah, I know. I have a letter from a patient, a client, who I recommended this to, and she had stage 4 colon cancer, and it completely went away. And the oncologist didn't understand why she didn't tell him that this. But not only that, he didn't understand why she didn't have any. She did have some chemo, but she had no side effects from the chemo, and everybody else did, and nobody else had the results that she did. And, you know, LDN, low-dose naltrexone, is known to mitigate the side effects of not only chemotherapy, but radiotherapy. And this is like I think it's now $39 a month. Okay, people? Really?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Very reasonable.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. I was going to tell you about another cool documentary called Phenomena. It's like, by the time you finish this, you know there are freaking aliens, okay? It's like fighter pilots and all that stuff. It is so good.
What's it called? Phenomena?
Phenomenon. Maybe it's called Phenomenon. It's the same guy. Phenomenon. It's the same guy who did, I think it was called Close Contact, the whole story about the three Brazilian girls in Varinha, what do you call it? It was pretty cool. So...
That sounds good. That's a good one. Everybody can have some viewing this week or this weekend. Watch some documentaries.
Exactly. All right, Eric, tell us what you know, what you want to share with us about orbs, light anomalies. I don't even know what light anomalies are, and spirits. So take it away, my love.
He says, thanks, Mom. He's got the mic. He says, hi, everybody. This one, we had a lot of fun with this one, and Eric has shared so much with me about orbs, and he's really, this whole journey of mine that I've been on, he's really helped me understand and helped me study orbs, because I'm so fascinated with them and with other light anomalies. And what he means about that is, and many of you listening, I'm sure, have experienced this or have photographs of it, where there are streaks of light. We can see them with our physical eyes too, streaks of light. Sometimes it looks like haze, fog, and of course the orbs and spirit orbs, because they contain spirit energy. it's something that causes a lot of controversy too, because Eric says that, you know, it's like anything else. If you're not paying attention to it, if you're not looking for it, then you might not see it. You might not know it. Even in pictures. But he says if you start to play with them, if you start to communicate with them, like anything else, like any other type of divination or anything, if you start to focus on them and work with them, you will get more and more. And what Eric wants to kind of explain, like, what is an orb? What exactly is it?
Yeah.
And what he has said to me is the orb is, they're light particles. He says that it's like manifested energy is the easiest way to explain it. And he says that the difference between an orb and a particle of dust, because you can get dust, you know, you take videos or pictures and you can get dust that look like orbs. And, you know, they can be very confusing and convincing at times, but a true spirit orb is going to have more of a solid center, he says, and it's also going to have its own light source. So if you really look at an orb, is the light emitting from something else? Like, is it reflecting from something else to the orb, or is it creating its own light?
Right. Let me share. Many of you guys have heard this story, but shortly after Eric died, and I was walking down the hallway, and my daughter Michelle was following me. I don't know why. I can't imagine why I wanted to go back in that room again, but I was about to start that room. And Michelle, she probably channeled it. She's very intuitive. Just thought, I need to grab that camera on the little coffee table. And she did, started shooting pictures. And one of the pictures, well, they all had orbs, but one of them was a very bright orb with a comet's tail following me. And so we took it to a photography specialist, actually more than one, and he did all sorts of stuff on it, including something called, you know, bringing the gamma down. And he said, this is emitting its own light source. And you can see it actually lighting up the banister of the staircase. And also, another thing I'll say is that in one of our Christmas photographs after Eric died, you see all of us in front of the Christmas tree, you know, next to each other. And then there's this bright beam, shaft of light between two of the family members. And, of course, that was Eric. He didn't want to be, he didn't, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. So.
Wow. Yeah. And Eric is really good at projecting his energy, you know, so, and we'll share, we've talked about it before, but before we stop talking today, we will share again how you can communicate with Eric with, you know, with your camera. And also, I mean, we can see orbs with our physical eyes as well. Now, Eric says that the camera is a little bit easier because it's able to pick up on that electromagnetic field that our eyes are not picking up on. We're able to see a little bit more. Now, the thing is, though, with your camera, it's we need the flash. So your phone or whatever, the flash is what's going to help you pick up on it. But the flash is not going to affect the light. You will see the difference. If you have not looked at orbs before, you will definitely see the difference between one that has intelligence to it and one that does not. They move differently. If you wave your arm back and forth, if it's dust, if it's a bug, it's going to move with the light, right? So if you start moving
really
your arm, you're going to start seeing the dust move. But orbs do not move that way. Orbs often, particular, he's saying, he likes to zoom. He likes to move really quick. Eric, here's an example of how I've got many videos of Eric and I playing around early in the morning. And what Eric likes to do is you won't know where he is in the room. And I wait for him and I say, okay, Eric, I said, whenever you're ready, zip in front of me. And he's always green. He's always green. And he will come from one corner or another, and he comes so fast and he just flies right dead center right in front of me.
That is so cool.
Incredible. Yes.
I know that when we had one of our events here at the house, people wanted to go into Eric's bedroom and take with their iPhones or Androids or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sometimes did it without the flash, and it kind of still worked. But maybe that's because of Eric, and maybe it's, you know, obviously more difficult with other spirits that don't have that, the energy of this room and all that stuff. And then we'd go, we would say, you know, turn pink, turn whatever, and he would do it. And you're right, he would zip around, but then we'd go into another bedroom, and there was nothing. Zip.
That's right.
So that's kind of cool. And on some occasions, and you'll see it if y'all watch the Channeling Eric YouTubes, I've seen, like, a red orb cross in front of the medium's face, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just red. I don't know what that is. But, so go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, Eric says that red, even though he's just saying, Mom, there's not a specific answer to the colors, because the colors can mean something different for the person.
Oh.
But he says a lot of times, especially when we're talking about who's coming with the mediums, he says a lot of times those are going to be protectors. He says like an ascended master.
Whoa.
Or guides. He says a warmth. He says think of red and warmth. So, he says sometimes sometimes that'll be him as well, where that orb will show up as red with him. Now, he's shown up as blue, green, and pink is how I've seen him before. But I know other people have seen him differently. And I will say, we were all, when we were there for, I think it was for the documentary at your house, Elisa, we all went into Eric's room and saw some pretty amazing. Like, he really showed himself to us, and that was a lot of fun. Eric says that, you know, the whole experience of being able to see them and connect with them can bring us a lot of, it can bring us a sense of comfort, because he says it is that bridge between the physical and the non-physical.
Yeah. It might not be the physical body, but it's more tangible than something invisible, right?
Exactly.
So you guys can play, you know, just do this with your own deceased loved ones, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he says most of them are he says, waiting for that opportunity.
Oh.
And he says you'll find that a lot of people, if you go through your photos, he says even some of your old photos, you may see something in the photos at weddings, at celebrations, he says, because they like to be there.
Yeah.
Another thing is, too, he says, when there is the portal or the gateway between life and death, he says that opens up a lot of energy as well. So there tends to be a lot of spirit guides, orbs, family, ancestors, angels. So we can get a lot of those. He goes, whether we have a soul coming into the physical or exiting the physical, they're all there.
Wow.
In both ways, they're all there.
So like in a hospice, maybe, you would probably find a lot of orbs waiting for that person to transition. Do you have to say a prayer, like any divination process, do you have to say a prayer of protection before you start asking to see orbs?
Well, Eric said that depends on where you are in your consciousness, because he says, you know, it is like any other divination. When you're calling in orbs, he goes, it's just like moving the pendulum or playing with cards or anything else. You're connecting, and it is a form of divination. And he says, you can get information from orbs too. But he says, it depends on how you feel. So if you're confident and you feel very protected, and he says, like, Mom, when you say apple, when you know, you can do that. But he says you don't have to. What he recommends is when you're going to either video or you're going to connect to see them, he says make sure you're doing it in a calm state. Don't do it when you're in an imbalanced state of mind at the time. And he says and do either say a prayer or be clear of what you're looking for so that you're not inviting in the whole neighborhood of spirit.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, like if he goes, unless that's what you want. But he says he might want to say something along the lines of, you know, hi, everybody. I'm here. I welcome all of my, you know, my family members, my ancestors, my guides, my angels, or maybe it's somebody in specific. Maybe it's your grandparents, your parents. I'll tell you something really interesting. We've had just a fascinating, like with the orbs, fascinating experiences across both my husband and I's, our families. My parents and his parents have had an opportunity to really, I think, really shifted their belief system when they were able to see physical evidence. And my mother-in-law went from not communicating or even really even thinking about the other side to all of a sudden starting to ask to see her parents. So as I went, this is in the early days of my journey, and so she wanted to see her parents, and she started to get lights coming every night. Two lights would show up, and she started to tell me, I don't know what this is, but I've got two lights that are hovering over my bed every night, and they have a light source of their own. She goes, I can see them reflect in the dark room. And so eventually she said that kind of scared her a little bit, so she just kept welcoming them as they would come in. And then she said, well, how do I know which one is my mom and which one is my dad? And she hears in her head, because boys are blue and girls are pink. The one orb went pink and one orb went blue.
Oh, my God. So that is so cool.
Yeah, it's just that amazing story.
That is so awesome. Isn't it a good idea for people who they want to start connecting with their loved ones, you know, trying to see their loved ones as or light anomalies to ask Eric first, or just go straight to the deceased loved one?
Well, Eric says it's whatever you feel comfortable with. Now, just to tell you, like Eric is fairly easy to to work with, and he loves it. He loves it so much. He's so good at it, and he's so supportive, and he will be there to help you. So if you're wanting to get comfortable with it, and, you know, if you feel that Eric is who you're drawn to connect with, and Eric says, call on me. I'm your guy. I will be there. And just kind of play with it. Now, what he taught me in the very early days, which is what I share with so many other people, is just to use your cell phone, put the flash on, make sure that the room that you're in is either very dimly lit or it's dark, and what you want to do is record it. So instead of just flashing photos, just put it on record and just pan around the room, because you can go back afterwards and screenshot the pictures, and you will often see things within the orbs. Now, Eric also says there's different types of orbs too, because not only the colors, but sometimes what we're seeing or what we're feeling is a little bit different than, say, you know, the orbs we were just talking about being individual spirits. Well, there's also orbs that come off of our own energy. And so have different orbs that come out that look like mandalas. And it's like vibrating energy. Pardon me?
What's a mandala?
Well, you know, like the, have you seen they're like the circles with all the little dots all the way around them, like the mandalas, the...
I think I know what you mean. Yes.
Right?
Okay.
So when you look at the orb and you look in, you can see this perfect design. And Eric says, why is it an orb? Why is it a circle? He says, because the circle is life, the cell. Everything is about the cell. And what's so fascinating is when I started to see orbs coming in, I also started to notice there would be many, many faces inside them as well. So there could be many different souls. And Eric says, and it's not, you know, not only spirits, but we've got ETs, we've got elementals, we've got different beings that will travel in light form. But our own energy, our chakra systems, we can project our own energy. So some of the orbs could actually be your own energy that you're seeing as well. So it's very, very interesting. And Eric says, you know, allow yourself to experiment with it. And
cool.
Interact with it.
I'm looking at mandala design, and they're so beautiful. M-A-N-A-L-A. They're just gorgeous. It's almost like it's a form of sacred geometry.
It is. That's exactly what it is, Eric says. He goes, Mom, you got it. That's exactly what it is. It's sacred geometry.
Some people that I, you know, they're friends of mine and also part of the CE community, love photographing orbs, and they can pick out faces in them. And I have a hard time seeing that, but I know they're probably correct. So do orbs very often or sometimes have faces in them?
Yes. Eric says a lot of times they do, and there are some people that see them really well. That's something that I do is I can see spirit in the orbs, like in photographs and whatnot. Eric says, they often do have faces, several faces in them. I'll tell you one time, again, in the early days, I had one of my mornings with spirit and was taking photographs and video of orbs. And this one green streak, so this would be more like a light anomaly, was kind of a streak, and it came from my ceiling all the way down, straight to the floor, and went straight through the floor. And when I went back and looked at it, and I zoomed in, I could see an older man's face that looked like maybe, I don't know, maybe late 1800s, early 1900s.
Wow.
And it's just the way he had like a top hat on, and I could see like his beard, and I'm like, wow, like it looked like a sepia tone picture, but it was green.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not that, like not a brown type look. It was more of a green, like an x-ray.
Right. Yeah. And then exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Like an old photograph.
I thought, it was exactly like an old photograph, and it was big enough that you could, like, I mean, you could see it so well that you could almost see the shine in his eyeball.
Oh my God.
It was so clear. So I went next door to my parents, and I showed my parents the picture, and my mom went downstairs and got an old photo album, and it was my father's great-grandfather.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We were blown away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Blown away. But we've had orbs with different dogs that we've had. With their full faces, more than one dog that we've had. We've had different family members. I was at a circle one night with a group of women a few years ago, and we caught a great big orb with Buddha in it.
Oh,
orange one. And you could see Buddha's face and everything, so clear. So
that
it's really
amazing.
Amazing.
Well, what else can you see besides faces? And mandalas and stuff. Do you see like a group of people in an orb or anything else you can see in orbs?
Eric says yes. He says you can see photographs because he says often it's a projection that we're seeing. So we can see photographs in it. Something that I noticed, I'm just asking him about it because I've never really asked him this, but I would see a lot of orbs with faces up towards the front, almost like they're riding inside something. and he says that's true. He's actually saying that they're ETs. It's ETs that I was seeing.
Wow. What do you mean? They're riding in something, in front of something? What?
Yeah, it looked like, and it's more than once I've seen this, and I think other people have seen this before too, I'm sure. I'm not the only one, but it looked like the orb looked like a ship.
Oh,
it had a bit of an oval shape to it, and there were the front of it almost looked like a giant windshield, and there were so many sets of eyes, all had the same round eyes and the same mouth, and there must have been like 20 faces.
Oh my God. That's kind of creepy. Yeah. It's like, take a joyride. Let's see what this mama can do.
Yeah. Exactly. Funny. Exactly.
Well, do they always have dead, spirits? Or so ETs, obviously, spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and our own energy. That's right. Okay. I don't, that's okay. We
yeah.
don't have to
and,
go
and
on.
Eric says it, interdimensional beings. So elementals, he says.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a, he says there's really no, there's no hard and fast rule. He says the only thing you want to be really careful with is, he says a lot of people get like afraid or think if they see an orb or an anomaly in a dark color that it means something negative. And he says it doesn't always mean that. He says there are a lot of earthbound spirits that show up as kind of a brown colored orb. And the reason why they do, it doesn't mean that they're negative. He says it's often because if they're not crossed, they might still be carrying some, you know, some emotional heaviness or haven't been dropped off as of yet until they do transition. So Eric says it doesn't necessarily mean that it's something bad. It just means that it's the body, but they're still connected into the ego or into the emotional field.
Okay. Where are some good places to photograph orbs? And, you know, maybe they're unsafe. Is it unsafe to, like, go to a cemetery? Because a lot of people do that. They go to film, to capture orbs in cemeteries. Oh, that kind of sounds creepy.
Eric says, he goes, you can see it around cemeteries. He says a lot of times the spirits themselves aren't really around there. You might get some interdimensional beings. You might get some earthbound spirits, he says, and your loved ones could be with you if you're going to visit a grave site. You know, they're often following you. So you can do that. Eric says a great place to do it is anywhere in your home where you feel the most comfort. So if that's your bedroom or if you have a special sitting room or anywhere where you feel a lot of peace, he says that's a great place to be able to do it. The other thing is, too, is if you have an area that maybe had an event, like, for example, one of our pets passed away in our house, and in that particular place where that pet passed, there's a lot of orbs that come up out of the floor. And Eric says that's because there's a portal there. And so there's a lot of energy that passes through. He says if you notice where the orbs are moving around a room, you'll be able to also see where the portals are because they tend to come out of the same location if you start to watch. Yeah.
Are those portals that need to be closed, or are some of them harmless?
Sometimes, he says, sometimes. It depends on what the event was. So the one that we're talking about, it was a cat that passed away, and there's nothing that, Eric says, nothing that's really passing through that space that is negative per se, but it depends on what the energetic charge is to whatever the location.
Okay.
So if there was an accident, if there was something that took place that had a lot of emotional energy, then that might need to be closed. Yeah.
So are you saying that the passing of the cat opened a portal, or that's okay? I understand. Because portals that we want to close with scalar energy, the main service, are, you know, usually open because of really bad mojo on the property, like on an ancient burial ground or some trauma or in your own energy, trauma, loss, hardships, et cetera. Any other places would be fun to, I guess, you know, if Grandpa Jones liked to sit in his lazy boy, that'd probably be a good place to try to film an oil.
A great place to do it is, you know, exactly what you just said. Eric says, you know, the loved one's chair or bed, or if you have some, like, their coat. He's actually showing me a blue coat. So if somebody listening has a blue coat hanging there that belongs to a loved one, then use that blue coat, because there's definitely going to be some energy around that. But he says, the other places that are really nice is, he says, if you have a garden, in a garden or in any area where there's prayer and meditation. He says a lot of gardens around churches and different places where there's any type of ceremony or prayer
have a lot of
energy around there to see.
Are there any places that
outside?
Then you're probably going to get elementals too, right?
Yes, Yes, definitely.
Okay, so are there any places you would advise against trying to capture orbs?
Eric says in the same rule where, you know, if you feel uncomfortable in a space, whether it's a home, a location,
yeah,
then don't.
Okay.
He's talking about locations that maybe have a lot of have had a lot of tragedy and places that are commonly visited by paranormal investigators. And he's not knocking what they're doing. He just says sometimes there's a lot of agitated energy that's there.
Oh.
And that's just not the place. Like, you can pick up a lot in those places. You can pick up a lot of heaviness in those places.
Oh,
so that
wouldn't
be the best place to say do that. Just the same, he said, it's not the best place to get out your divination tools unless you really know what you're doing in places like that.
Oh,
so
I've had
anything
people,
known as
I've had
haunted
people that,
or something like that.
Yeah, I've had some people that have used divination tools inappropriately without protection, and oh my gosh, all hell rains on them and their family. I have some horror stories. But orbs themselves, even they can't hurt you, right?
No.
Okay.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
He said they can get physical, but they can't hurt you.
Okay. What do you mean get physical?
He says, like an he's giving me an example, like an orb came up by my shoulder one time, and I could feel like somebody was brushing me across the arm.
Oh, okay.
So like that. So you can have like physical touch.
Cool. All right, you guys, I recommend you go to the Channeling Eric YouTube channel and type in orbs on the channel, and you will find so many cool. We had a contest a long time ago where people submitted their orb pictures. I remember one was so cool. This little baby was in her car seat, and this orb goes from, you know, her below and all the way up to the top of the ceiling of the car, and she was just following it with her eyes. It was so adorable. It was her grandma.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of cool orb videos from that contest if you want to look that up. Anything else you want to share, Eric, before we take callers?
He just wants to add one thing. He says, just on what you said about the baby, because he says, watch your babies, watch your dogs, watch your cats.
Whoa.
He says they can see them really clear. He says, if your dog is barking and wagging his tail and the baby is like watching and you're not seeing anything there, he says a lot of times they can be transparent when you don't have that specific lighting on it and you might not be accustomed to seeing them yet. And he says you might start to see them out of the corner of your eyes. So he says, watch your kids and watch your pets. They'll let you know where they are.
Oh, wow, that's cool. Yeah, I know. I could tell Bella sees something, probably Eric, and she'll be looking up to nothing, basically. So that's kind of cool. And cats are really good. Cats are really good, are very open to that kind of visualization of energy, right?
Yes.
That's
very
cool.
Much so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else, my love?
He says, that's it, Mom. He goes, let's take some callers.
Okie dokie. All right, let's see here. Let's see. Go to the very top. Wait, where's the top? I don't know why they don't have the hold time. I really would like the hold time. All right, so we got somebody from the 732 area code. Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, everyone. This is Melissa from Manchester.
Hey, Melissa.
Jersey.
Hi.
Hi,
Melissa. Thank you. I was thinking of the singer Melissa Manchester when you go. I know.
Well, you and I were just emailing kind of recently. I got the energy work done on my family. And then you told me, because my son has the ADHD, I think my husband has borderline personality disorder. He's gone through a lot in his life. And you said that I should ask Eric to see if the energy work did well and if I needed to get the extra package or if there was something else that I still needed to get. Or if it's working, then I'm good for now. Like, you know, you wanted me to touch base with him in regards to that.
Yes. I can't remember. What's your son's name?
It's Owen.
Owen.
He's 12 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And thank you for all the work you did. I know it takes a lot out of you, and I'm so blessed to have you in my life that you did that for me.
My pleasure. Also, I kind of want to ask, first of all, Eric, do they need anything else? Hopefully not.
No,
and if not.
He's actually saying no. Yes, they don't. They're looking real good.
What about Neuralink for ADHD for Owen?
Neuralink? Is that what you said?
Neuralink is that supplement I've been talking about that basically it's the building block for one is L-tyrosine, building block for dopamine. Another is 5-HT, building block for serotonin. Another is GABA, and there's some B vitamins and stuff. And, you know, I've had family members that, oh, my God, they're off of antidepressants and all that, and they're more focused. And a lot of people, if you look at the comments, you know, you have to check with your doctor, though, of course, or your healthcare provider.
We just left the pediatrician's office today, actually, and they were asking me, how is the Adderall doing? And it's so hard to tell because he's 12. He's starting to go through puberty, and you don't know what is the ADHD, what's just the normal 12-year-old boy being fresh sometimes, you know, and I don't know how I can help him because he does have a learning disability, so he does struggle in school, but I do want any tool I can. So if you guys think that the Neuralink is the way to go.
Why don't you look it up? It's super cheap.
I looked it up. It's like under 40. It's under 40, and I had the pediatrician look at it today. Well, this is a vitamin. And based on Owen, with how extreme his ADHD is, you know, she didn't think it was going to work, but I was so happy that I got on that I got to talk to you guys today about it.
You know what? I wish I had had Eric on that because he was on these stimulants, that's how it triggered the onset of his tics, i.e. Tourette's.
Yeah.
And it just destroyed him. And his appetite was horrible. So, if you just do the reviews, depend on other people's knowledge with their children with ADHD, because I've seen a lot in these review threads, comment threads, that say, my kid's no longer on stimulants. He's only on this. So, I mean, it might not work for everybody, but I think it's safer. You know, you don't have the QT prolongation.
I'm definitely going to try it.
You don't have the QT prolongation that you have that could cause sudden death, the QT prolongation of the EKG that many of these stimulants have. And, you know, you don't have the appetite thing and whatever. And what if it doesn't work?
Right.
If it doesn't hurt, these are natural things that everybody has L-tyrosine in their body. Everybody has 5-HT in their body. Everybody has GABA in their body, okay? This is not something that the body does not know anything about. The problem is that most of these medicines that Big Pharma puts us on, and I'm telling you, there are medications that are super necessary, okay?
Well, because you suggested it, I am definitely ordering it anyway. And now's the time to try it out during the summer when he's not in school. So I can take a look and see how it's reacting for him.
Well, let's ask
Eric. What do you think, Eric?
Eric says, he says, go for it. He says, explore this. Explore it. He made a comment about the Adderall when you were talking about it. That may change for him as he gets older. Because Eric said, like, I don't know if he's not going to need it or he's not going to require it because it doesn't feel like it's going with him as he gets older.
Right on the mark because I actually had a genetic test done for him to say, because I didn't want my son to be a guinea pig. And I wanted to know, hey, out of all this medicine that's out there, what is the one that's really going to work best for his genetics? And it turns out none of them. He is not a candidate for ADHD medicine. But then again, even though I can't send him to school without it because it's night and day, his focus is only 7% out of 100. So it's really dramatic. So I need something for him.
Yeah.
Is more energy work only based on... What?
Eric says to give this Neuralink a try.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
I
was thinking maybe the cognition memory optimization, because that's huge. I mean, that is like a monster, especially for students, a monster script. But, you know, I think let's just take baby steps, see what this first thing does. Maybe try the Neuralink. If that doesn't work, then, you know, you could be on Adderall and Neuralink at the same time. You just can't be on SSRIs or SNRIs because the serotonin level will get too high. So.
Okay. Well, if I need the extra ADHD energy work, I'm totally open for that too, because I'll do a review, but I've seen a huge change in my husband and my son and their positive energy coming out since the energy work. It's beautiful.
Awesome. So, but you know, Eric says, he doesn't think Owen needs this. So I trust him more than anything else. So let's just see what happens. Baby steps, baby steps. All right, Melissa.
I love you all.
We love you too.
We love you too. Mwah.
Melissa.
Mwah.
All right. Got somebody from the 775 area code. Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so happy you called on me again. This is Denise from Reno or California. Today I'm in Sunnyvale at my mom's who passed away. I had different questions besides orbs, but I am a little interested in the ADHD, if you can do it entire houses, like for schizophrenia. Can you do that kind of portal work on ADHD or schizophrenia on a whole house?
Well, no, but I will say that we do so much in the household energy repair, protection, and enhancement. It covers so much, even, you know, bringing essential inorganic substances to the right levels of the body, neurotransmitters, you know, rejuvenation and repair of cells, of cell receptors. We even get to the cilia. We, you know, get rid of neurotoxins. I mean, it is a monster. That's why it takes sometimes 14 hours to do, okay? So so that's why I really recommend that people only do that first and then see. You know, instead of also ordering the thing for depression or ADHD or anxiety, because you know, if we're handling the neurotransmitters, for example, then it might not be necessary to get anything else. So,
Great. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I would do that.
Can I ask about past lives with three different people with their first names? Is that possible to do?
You can do
past
one. We have so many people.
Okay. Well, I have a neighbor that I recently have gotten to have a relationship with after 35 years because of some other energy involved in between us as a neighbor. And we have so much in common now. Her name is Mary. And I just want to know if we've shared any past lives with Mary. I have a couple other people, too, who are on my mom's side. But Mary's a neighbor that I said I would ask.
What's the first initial of her last name? And where does she live? In California or Reno?
You know, I don't know. I better change people because I'm not sure of her last name. So can I find out about
Judy? Maybe Eric knows.
Hi. We got it. Eric and I have it here. We've got it. Eric's given me some past life stuff. He's saying that you've had a lifetime which looks like Greece, and you're an educator. Both of you are educators. There's something about teaching people by the water. So it was very small groups of people, and you're actually teaching, not like teaching young people. It looks like older people, and you're all in red robes. Eric's saying like politicians, has to do with politics. And he said that this person you've connected with, the two of you had something to do with
putting new laws in Greece.
In Greece? The country Greece?
In Greece. Like over in Greece.
Oh, Greece. Okay. I like the Greece.
Yeah, no, Greece. Y'all were swimming
in Greece. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, you were jumping in buckets of grease together. No.
There we go. We need to dump some hot grease on some of the politicians that we have around here. I'm telling you what. All right, well, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call, and you guys have a great rest of your week. I hope you had a good vacation. You haven't been on for 2 weeks.
I know. I feel bad about that. We had some Memorial Day. Yeah, we needed a break. And I had to take a break, yeah. I swear to God. I had to recharge my batteries. I was starting to twitch after a while because I love the work I do so much. It's like,
I know, me too.
Starting to drive people crazy. All right, so we got somebody from 515 area code. Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, good evening. This is Lisa from Iowa.
Hi, Lisa from Iowa. What's you got?
I wanted to let you know something. While I was waiting for the show to come on, I could hear your pre-conversation. So I don't know if that'll be recorded out on YouTube or, you know, the podcast, but you might want to.
Oh, my God. I know. You know what? I saw 515, and I mistook it for being 519. So I clicked on you, but then I muted it again. So I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay. Then no worries. I was just worried that it would be on the, recorded.
Oh, I don't know. I'll check it, but I can't even remember what we said.
Don't worry.
We were just chatting about Maya. It's all good.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that.
It was personal. Anyhow, my stepmother passed away a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to see her name's Judy H.
Oh.
And I just wanted to see if she's come through.
For Lisa?
Yeah.
Has she got... Is this your stepmom? Is your dad in spirit?
No.
Okay.
I had called a few weeks back because we always thought my dad would go first, and you were like, just wait, be patient before I offered to help. And then, boom, she passed.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, because I'm getting a male is coming forward with her. So there is a male that's with her. I'm not sure who this is. Is it? Okay, because it is somebody that she's connected to, like, or she's had a relationship with, yes, so, okay.
Right, her son, my stepbrother, isn't taking it so well. He had a stroke in 08, and so I've kind of taken him on. You know, we go out for walks with my service dog, and, you know.
Okay,
so it makes sense.
I have to tell you, she's got dogs with her. She's showing me dogs. Are they her dogs, or is she talking about the service dog?
The service dog is here with me, so I think they had cats, but she might have had dogs with Al, I don't know, with her ex-husband.
Okay, let me see, because I heard she's a little bit on the quiet side. Did she pass suddenly with something in the chest area? She's got something going on with her. Did she have a stroke or a heart attack?
Her son had a stroke. I think she had a brain aneurysm and cancer somewhere, and I'm not privy to the information because I'm black sheep.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, I got to tell you, she is giving you a message. She's talking to you about boundaries. Having boundaries with other people, protecting yourself.
Always.
Protecting yourself with boundaries. And she wants to let you know that, she knows what you go through.
That's what I needed to hear from her, really.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She said, thumbs up, she's good. She's good.
Oh,
I have chills all over. That's the perfect message.
Good.
Spirit bomb.
Good.
All right, Lisa.
Perfect.
Thanks for calling in, sweetie.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, we got somebody from the 724 area code. Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, this is Mandy. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Mandy.
Hi, I apologize in advance if my phone hangs up. I'm having
issues
with it.
Oh, you got a little one?
Excuse me, hon?
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I meant my charger. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought you said your son. I'm sorry. Okay,
that's
got it.
That's what I thought you said, too. Okay.
I know.
But no, actually, that's why I am calling, to see if there was anything you could pick up that I should already know about my oldest son. His name is Derek.
Derek, okay. So, and Derek is in the physical, correct?
Excuse me?
He's alive, right?
He's living?
Yes, Derek is living, but he's not in the same household with me.
Okay.
Without getting into specifics, you know, with being on air.
Is there, you just wanted, like, something general about him, or?
Yeah, can you be specific?
If he's okay in general, if there's something I need to know that I don't know, you know, about the past, present, or future with him.
Okay, well, the one thing that Eric is saying, and he's putting it this way, he's holding back some truth. He's holding something back. But Eric's also talking about, like, he's going through some kind of change in his life. So it might look like things are upside down because Eric's showing, like, a lot of water washed over him, which is when somebody's going through a change, a purification in their life. Do you feel intuitively, like, is something bothering you? Because Eric just says, like, your intuition is correct. Like, he's okay. He's okay. It's just, he's going through some stuff.
Yes, it's overly amount of where, you know, I'm not getting sleep, you know, anxiety, feeling, and I just really feel there is something, you know what I'm saying, that may possibly not have come out, do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That may have happened to him in his past, that somebody may have done something particular to him. And I, you know, so if I get a dream or vision, I don't know if it is, and I believe in God, if it is that, you know, communicating, validating, or is it my subconscious or my mind and my worry? Do you know what I'm saying?
Eric, did something happen to Eric in his childhood or young adulthood or teenage? Can you answer that, Eric?
Yeah.
Was it abuse?
Yeah.
Or just
something like that, yeah.
Okay. Or bullying or some sort of abuse?
What Eric is saying is, like, he's saying, like, as a mom, you're getting information that is true.
Okay.
He says trust your intuition, yeah.
Will he be okay? We're running out of time, so I just have to ask the main things.
Yes, he will be okay.
Does he need any intervention or help, for example, from his mother? Is there anything else that Mandy can do? Or is it just like, let them have their journey, the spiritual contract, and all that stuff.
He said that it's going to be a little rocky. Next little bit, it's going to be a little bit rocky, but he says it's necessary. It's to help him get through to the next, like, it's like turning a corner.
Oh.
And it's a hard corner to turn, but it's going to be better because of it.
Oh,
so
that's
be with him. Be with them the best you're able to.
Yeah, just love and support. All right, thank you guys for this was an amazing, amazing video show. Thank you all for being a part of it. And, of course, thank you so much, Michelle Gray at BeHealingH-Art.com, Medium, Healer, Unit, awesome mom. And I love you, Eric. I love you all.
Eric says, love you, Mom. And love you, everybody. Love you, too, Lisa.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Bye.